ஷேப். பிராணமயா ஹேஸ் நோ ஒரிஜினல் ஷேப், இட் டேக்ஸ் த ஷேப் ஆஃப் தி கண்டெய்னர். அண்ட் டுடே வி வில் சி எ ஸ்டில் சட்லர் கோஷா, நேம்லி தி மனோமய கோஷா. அண்ட் திஸ் ஆல்சோ ஹேஸ் நோ ஷேப் அண்ட் இட் டேக்ஸ் த ஷேப் ஆஃப் இட்ஸ் கண்டெய்னர் ஆல்சோ. So the development of the Upanishad will be same as we saw in the Pranamaya Kosha case. Once the Manomaya Kosha, Manomaya is given the human shape, then it will also have a head, it will have a right side, it will have a left side. So all those things that it has to have a pratishtha, support, all that will be there. And for the Manomaya, Tasya Yajure Vashiraha, the Yajur mantras. Actually, when we say Yajur mantras, it is not the Yajur Veda itself. Rig mantra, actually Rig is a type of mantra and Sama is type of mantra. Then why do we call them Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, etc.? Because they contain Rig mantras, so we call it Rig Veda. And that which contains the Yajur mantras, we call it Yajur Veda. By implication, they are also called Yajur Veda, Rig Veda, etc. So here, Yajureva Shiraha, Yajur mantras are the head of the Manomaya Kosha. Now the question will be, how Rig mantra, Yajur mantra, etc. will become part of Manomaya? Because if you think, Manomaya actually is what? Manomaya exists within, whereas these mantras, they are existing outside. Manomaya is within Vijnanamaya Kosha, and when the Manomaya is existing inside, how these mantras which are existing outside, how they can be part of the internal Manomaya? So that could be a question. For example, any part should be within the total and it cannot be outside. Any part, for example, whatever, if you take so many states in the United States, all the states of United States should be within the legal boundaries of United States. We cannot have something in some faraway place in Europe or Russia and then say it is within United States, because whatever is bound within United States only can be within that. So because Manomaya exists within, whereas all these mantras, Rig mantras, Yaj mantras, they all exist outside. So how can the external mantras can be part of the internal Manomaya? That could be the question. So Shankaracharya, he makes a very big discussion in this context, and he says, even though the mantras are outside, the Upanishad talks about the corresponding thought that occurs in the mind when we read those mantras. So the mantra per se may be outside, but when we read the mantras, whatever thought come to our mind, and that is what these things refer to. That's why Shankaracharya writes. So Yajur mantra means Yajur vritti, and Rig mantra means Rig vritti. Vritti means thoughts. And if you really look at the thoughts, after all, the thought comes, when we say any thought, only the thought comes first, and only the sound, the word, that comes next, later only. For example, if you take a simple word like a table, when a new object is seen, a table or something is seen, that object only enters into the mind and a corresponding thought is formed of the object. Thereafterwards, we want to convey that thought to other people, and we have no other method of conveying the thought because thoughts are invisible. So we cannot convey the thought as thought. We have to express through some words. So we discover a new sound symbol to indicate the thought. So words are nothing but what? They are only sound symbols to communicate our thoughts. So Yajus is the name of a thought, not an external sound. Actually, that's what Shankaracharya says, the name of the thought. And Acharya also argues, whenever someone asks a mantra to be repeated, we want to repeat Gayatri mantra 1000 times, so many times, right? Gayatri avrityam kuryat. Recited so many times. Does it mean that Gayatri mantra is written and as written in the Vedas, is written on a piece of paper and avritti means is kept on rotating? We don't do that. So when the Veda talks about mantra avritti, repeating the mantra so many times, we do the avritti in the thought. repeating the Gayatri thought several times. That's what we do when we do Avritti. So not the Veda book is rotated or something is rotated. It's not that way. So from this, it is very clear that the mantra symbol, it's no mantra, maybe outside the symbol, they all refer to the mantra vritti. Whatever the thought associated with the mantra, they are all inside. So if mantra thoughts refer to, mantra refers to the thoughts, they should also belong to what? The Manomaya Kosha only. Because all the thoughts occur in the mind, in the Manomaya only. And so Shankaracharya says, they are all part of Manomaya only. So tasya yajureva shiraha. Yajur vrittayaha. Yajur vrittayaha means the thoughts. Yajur vrittayaha eva manomayasya shiraha. All the thoughts related to the Yajur mantras, they are comparable to. Like the head of Manomaya. Then Rig Dakshina Pakshaha, the Rig Mantra, vrittis, the thoughts associated with Rig Mantra, they are compared to the right side because we have to have this, the shape of a human being. So there is a head, there is a right side. Sama Uttara Pakshaha, the Sama Mantras, the Sama Vrittis, they are taken as the left side. Then Adesha Atma, Adeshaha refers to the Vidhi Nisheda portion of the Vedas. The entire Brahmana Bhaga. Actually, if you take the Vedas have the Samhita Bhaga, the Brahmana Bhaga, the Aranyakas, the Upanishads. There are so many parts for the Vedas. And the Brahmana Bhaga, they refer to the Vidhi Nisheda portion, the do's and don'ts. What are to be done, what are not to be done. So, literally, the word Adesha, that means a commandment. Actually, we saw in Sikshavalli portion, Vedamanucha Acharyaha Antevasinam Anushasti. Anushasti refers to commands. Satyam Vada Dharmanchara. So, these are all commands. Tell the truth. Follow the right etiquettes. So, that is the Atma, the central portion. So for this, the left side, the shiraha is the yajureva shiraha. Rigmantras are the dakshina paksha, sama mantra are the uttara paksha, and this adesha is the satyam vada. All this, that is the atma, the central portion. And atharvangirasaha refers to the atharva veda. It is so called, Atharva Veda is so called Atharva Veda because they were revealed by two rishis. The Atharva Veda were revealed by two rishis. One is called Atharva Rishi and the other one is called Angiras Rishi. So these are the two sages who revealed the Atharva Veda. So it is called Atharvangirasaha. So Shankaracharya, he does not say Atharva Veda in his commentary. He just mentions actually the mantras revealed by sage Atharva and sage Angiras. And that is taken as Pratishtha, the support. Why it should be taken also as a support, the Atharva Veda? Because in the Atharva Veda mantras, they are dealing with the material well-being and prosperity predominantly. All the Atharva Veda mantras, predominantly, they talk about material well-being and material prosperity. So Shankaracharya, he says, you know, Shantika Paushtika Karmani. For material well-being and material prosperity, many rituals are mentioned in the Atharva Veda. Unlike the other Vedas, they talk, you know, all other Vedas, what do they talk about? They talk about the otherworldly life by acquiring punya. You do a lot of good activities, you gain a lot of punya, and how a person can take the Swargadi Lokas. One can go to Swargaloka, all those kinds of Swargadi Lokas, or one can attain moksha. So they are the things that are discussed in the all the other Vedas. They are spiritually oriented, whereas the Atharvana Veda is more talking about the physical health, good house, Vastu Shastras, animals, all those things they talk about. So yes, prosperous, healthy life is described in the Atharva Veda. Actually, when people hear this, it is going to give a lot of material well-being, health, and all those prosperity. Everyone may get interested in Atharva Veda. But in the Vedantic context, we take for granted that one is not interested in improving material lots at all. Because when you come to Vedanta, people are not interested in improving the material lot, and so those, so they talk about either swarga etc or moksha. That's what they talk about when we come to Vedanta. But one thing, even though we say the material well-being is not the ultimate goal, one should not be just, you know, sitting only on the material well-being alone, even though it's not the ultimate goal. Vedanta definitely recognizes that material well-being is very important. Vedanta recognizes that. It is a means and not the end. That is, we have to understand. That is why in our religion, wealth is personified as Mahalakshmi. Even though we condemn artham anartham bhavaya nittam na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha, all those things we say, but we do not outrightly condemn material prosperity at all. But we condemn it if it is taken as the ultimate end. If people take only material well-being as the ultimate end, then we condemn it. So if we take it as shashvatam, then we condemn that. They will help us. The material prosperity really helps us in living properly, in living a comfortable life. But they cannot give us shanti or purnatvam or immortality or love, any of those things material prosperity cannot give, cannot assure you. But remember, even spiritual practice requires basic material well-being. Even if spiritual practice has to be practiced, basic material well-being is needed. For example, if health is not there, if people don't have good health, how can one sit for an hour in the class? There will be, you know, body pain, knee pain, that pain, this problem, that problem. All those problems will come. That will all take the concentration away from attending even a 1 hour lecture. That is why they say that tapas should be sufficient for you to maintain your control on the senses only. That much tapas is adequate, and you should not spoil one's health. One should not do something excessively. Because a person not used to having, you know, this upavasam on Ekadashi day, he cannot just like that start and say, tomorrow I'm not going to, on the Ekadashi day, I'm not going to drink even water. If a person is not used to that, and if he just goes and tries to do that, it is going to hurt his health. That is why they say tapas should be sufficient for a person to maintain one's one's basic control of the senses. So we gave enough importance for physical health in our scriptures, material wealth also, and that is why the Upanishad says pratishtha atharvangirasa puccham pratishtha. There is a saying in Tamil where it says, you know, chuvar illama you cannot write a chitram, without a wall you cannot write any drawing on that. So body is important, material well being is important. Unless they are taken care, one will not be able to even maintain a good spiritual life. That is why actually in Shikshavalli, the first chapter in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it says